Good morning, everyone. Words of reassurance for the people of Moscow yesterday from the president of Russia, Mr. Medvedev, and from the prime minister, Vladimir Putin, both of whom talked about increased security measures and, at least in Putin's case, talking about destroying the masterminds of that terror attack on the Moscow subway yesterday, twin attacks that killed, the death toll now stands at about 39. Let's have one more comment from Bridget Kendall, BBC diplomatic correspondent who was in the Moscow bureau this morning, talking about Russians' reaction one day after the terror attacks, and a sense that responding to terrorism now is much different than what it was even a few years ago.
There are people, interestingly, beginning to talk in the way that you might find in London or in New York or Washington, saying in order to tackle terrorism, you can't just go in with heavy weaponry and an iron fist. You have to have a more imaginative approach which gets at the ideas that engage these people, and you have to work harder at getting to the root of what is causing this problem. A much more sophisticated discussion than I've heard before in Moscow.
Bridget Kendall, BBC diplomatic correspondent in Moscow. Joining us now is Heather Conley, director of the Europe Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. She joins us from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Heather Conley, you know, one of the, I suppose, disadvantages Russia has in its contemplation of what to do next in a situation like this is that it's perhaps fair to say that it's tried almost everything. I mean, it has done a scorched earth campaign in Chechnya. It has tightened the screws on the security throughout the country. What do you think the calculus is this morning in Moscow?
Well, I think they're scrambling on the calculus, and it's going to be fascinating to watch what they do from here. I think you have to look at this in a way in two different camps. You clearly have Prime Minister Putin, who came to power, came to the political scene on a platform of strength, strong security to quell the instability in the North Caucasus. And in 2004, when there was just a crescendo of suicide bombings, he took a true iron fist, secured government power, and really clamped down. And in fact, in the post 2004 environment, it was quiet. We did not see evidence of these types of bombings. But 2008, it started to creep up, and we're seeing certainly renewed activity. So people in Moscow, particularly, but in Russia, have a sense that although it's eerily calm this morning, that they may be returning back to those uncertain days in 2004. Now, President Medvedev had a slightly different approach to this, and I think picking up on what Bridget had said about a few months ago, he gave a very unusual speech saying, you know what, while we have to go after these terrorists, clearly maybe we need to develop a more modern program to help economic development, help give opportunity. That was, to her words, a more sophisticated approach. But we'll see who wins out on this, because I think the urgency and certainly the public reaction to this may require Mr. Putin to step in and have more of an iron hand when it comes to trying to rein in the North Caucasus.
Well, indeed. I mean, is it possible that the narrative here is that this bombing is the answer to Medvedev's unusual moderate-sounding statement on economic development, and that the whole thing gets thrown in the dustbin?
Some are suggesting that this may be something that puts the whole modernizing concept that he's floated since September of last year, it puts it to a side, and it allows Mr. Putin, who's given President Medvedev a little running room on this concept, it may give him an opportunity to say, you know what, that's not going to work. We're going to do it my way. We're going to return to this very strong crackdown and get a hold of this. You have to understand the environment. I mean, there have certainly been protests across Russia, an unusual event. There was just one very recently in northwest Russia, in Arkhangelsk. There's some unhappiness. Now, it's not extensive. Putin remains very popular. The United Russia Party remains very popular. There's such little opposition. But you add this to general unhappiness on the economic situation and combine it with fear of security, it's potent. Now things look a little shakier.
Indeed. Well, it becomes a motivation to do something, and with the popularity that Putin and Medvedev enjoys, it means an almost free hand. And that sort of brings us to a discussion that's wider here. We've already seen a certain kind of, tacit sort of tolerance of the war in Iraq and the escalation of the war in Afghanistan since the inauguration of Barack Obama. It seems as though Americans are willing to allow these things to play out. I'm wondering if there is a Russian dimension to this in the sense that 10 years or so of the war on terror has essentially granted to Putin and Medvedev a free hand in even controversial territories like Dagestan, Ingushetia, disputed territories inside Georgia, and that whatever Medvedev and Putin decide to do here, the international community is going to stay clear of it.
Well, I think it's certainly something that we need to remain quite cautious about. You hear, certainly yesterday, both President Obama and French President Sarkozy, who's visiting with President Obama today, saying that, we are New Yorkers, we are Londoners, and we are, with the Russian people, the solidarity of certainly on the war against terrorism. Absolutely. And I think there was a galvanizing moment, particularly after September the 11th, between then President Bush and President Putin to say, yes, we must go after this. So clearly that will happen. But I think there is a significant concern about human rights abuses. We're following this very closely, not only in Chechnya, but neighboring Dagestan and Ingushetia. There's some significant human rights abuses, clearly, and we have to remain vigilant about perpetrating acts of murder. Of course, they must be punished. But
how that expresses itself in the White House policy it remains to be seen. Finally, before we go, is there any political program, coherent or otherwise, on the horizon in these disputed territories that you've talked about that could become a negotiating platform if we were to go in a moderate direction?
I can't see evidence of it right now. You had a few months ago that President Medvedev did appoint the person in charge for Ingushetia, but you still have a hand-selected Putin person in Chechnya, Kadyrov. I don't sense that there's much room. In fact, again, we're going to watch, but I would sense that there will be a strong crackdown to get this situation under control and then see if there is room for economic development.
Well, clarity there, not necessarily positive developments, though. Heather Conley, director of the Europe Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, thanks so much.
Thank you.